Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parable of the Mustard Seed or the Mustard Tree. How does the Kingdom of God grow? Immediately following the parable of the mustard seed, Mark records that the Lord taught the great crowds only in parables, which he explained privately to his disciples. However, the Gospel writers have not recorded the Lord's explanation of this parable or told us much about the context in which it was taught. So the question arises, should we simply take the parable of the mustard seed as an illustration of dramatic and yet quiet growth? Or might we usefully look more closely at the man, the seed, the growing seedling, and the ultimate tree? Similarly, is the reference to the birds nesting in the branches simply an indication of the size to which the tree grows? Or could these be identified with particular aspects of the kingdom of God? So, for example, we could ask, who can sow the kingdom of God? This must be the Lord God himself, God the Father in overall sovereign control, God the Son as he sowed both his God-centered way of living and his teaching in the lives of those first disciples, and God the Holy Spirit as he opens eyes to see the kingdom of God and as he sows a hunger for the things of God in the hearts of men and women, both then and in our own day. We might also ask, what field, ground, or garden had the Lord God been preparing for the sowing of his kingdom? The scriptures show us that for centuries, by prophet, priest, and king, the Lord God had been preparing his people, Israel, the Jewish nation. From Abraham onwards, they were his chosen people, a people through whom he would fulfill his purposes and on whom he had set his love, not due to any merit of their own, but simply by God's sovereign choice. It was through God's ancient people, the children of Abraham, that the nation would be blessed. Much later, full of the Holy Spirit of God, John the Baptist declared that God's chosen moment to begin to fulfill his purpose had arrived. By divine appointment, John prepared the way and called the people of Israel to repent and to be ready. As he sowed the kingdom of God, who or what did the Lord God sow? Who or what was his grain of mustard seed? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, writes the Apostle Paul, referring to the Jewish people. As the Lord Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, set captives free, and proclaimed good news to the poor, Isaiah's words of prophecy concerning the signs of the coming of the Messiah, God's anointed King, were fulfilled. As he taught, he declared that by his very presence among them, the kingdom of God had come. Here is the mustard seed. Here is the seed of the kingdom, the long-promised Messiah, God himself among his people, both the sower and the seed. And yet, to the world, he was just a baby boy, born in turbulent times, who escaped a massacre. He was just an irregular rabbi, an itinerant preacher, sowing his life and teaching in the hearts and minds of a dozen unlearned and ignorant men in a backwater of the great Roman Empire. His was just one more miscarriage of justice, one more crucifixion among so many which took place to keep the conquered people, and especially the slaves, under subjection. Each of these things was apparently quite insignificant. And yet, God was sowing his kingdom, a kingdom hidden from those who consider themselves great and wise, but a kingdom that would grow until the great day dawns when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How did the Lord God continue to grow his kingdom after the resurrection of Jesus? Jesus left a seedling church, a sapling mustard tree, a little group of disciples who, typical of seedlings, were very vulnerable and unsure. They were frightened, confused, and tempted to return to fishing. However, at Pentecost, devout Jewish people from many different nations were gathered in Jerusalem, and in their own native languages heard these same disciples, now filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly telling out the mighty works of God. The Lord God had long before promised by his prophet Zechariah that he would pour out a spirit of compassion and supplication on his ancient people as they looked on the one they had pierced and caused them to mourn for their mistake as one mourns for an only child. He'd also promised on that day to open a fountain of forgiveness and cleansing for the house of Israel, the Jewish people. On the day of Pentecost, as the devout men of Israel listened to Peter's God-owned declaration concerning the Messiah, identifying him with the Jesus they had put to death, they were deeply moved, cut to the heart by the Holy Spirit, crying out, "What must we do?" 3,000 of them turned in repentance and faith and were baptized. They found the promised fountain of forgiveness and cleansing in the name of Yeshua, their crucified Messiah. Under the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, the mustard seed, grew strongly that day. From then on, the Lord added daily to his church those who were being saved. As we consider these things, we must not overlook the fact that the Lord God's kingdom, his mustard tree, was very clearly, primarily, among his ancient people, the Jews. He came to his own people, writes the Apostle John. Jesus came, as he declared, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sent to redeem those under the law. It is for this reason that the non-Jewish person seeking help for her sick daughter could initially be given such an astonishing reply: "It's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs." At this point, it would be easy to conclude that the kingdom of God, his mustard tree, was to be composed of those members of the house of Israel who believed. Those who believed then, those who through the running centuries came to believe, and those of the Jewish people who in our day believe on their crucified Messiah, Yeshua. But was the kingdom to be restricted to the people of Israel? Some Jewish believers certainly thought it was. However, it is the Lord God who plants and is growing his kingdom. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.